Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Speaking of Burger Bets, I'm going to win. Oh, hey, look, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com. Lance, you enjoy a slight reprieve with that win over Golden State, Green Bay. Lance, joining us on the fan hotline. Hi, buddy.
What's going on? Hey, yeah, the burger's not yours yet, my friend. It's we're going now.
Yeah, but my burger cockiness right now is through the roof.
Yeah, but Nick and I still have to go just to taunt Jonathan, who paid up on his bet. So Nick and I have to get together and, you know, we got to cash in.
All I do is win, guys.
I know.
Well, first of all, happy birthday, my friend. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. It's I'm officially 40 years old, and I don't feel like it. So I do feel really good. I feel really good for feeling 40. I'll say that.
It's everybody pretend to say nothing nice about and to Nick Wilson.
I know. I'm so shocked by this that I've not heard nearly enough insults today. Although there's always Twitter. There is always Twitter.
They have not disappointed.
They have not. Lance, I do want to ask you, as a nice win over Green Bay, offensively, though, how close are they to being where they need this defense to be to truly compete week in, week out?
Well, you know, they had to do what they had to do that day. And, you know, I heard a couple of takes on he did miss some shots over top. But I, you know, after 20 years of playing ball in the NFL, I'm thinking that he saw those and didn't feel confident and wanted to make sure that he didn't turn the ball over. Now, that doesn't win you. That's probably not sustainable. But last week it was. And you saw the offense could not play any worse than they did. But because they didn't turn it over, and I don't count the Hail Mary as a turnover, because they didn't turn over, they were in the game. And this defense, I think, can keep them in the game. Now, they have to go somewhere between letting Joe cook and that last week. They got to kind of go somewhere in the middle. I think those chunk plays come from their tight ends, in my opinion. But I think they did what they had to do in that game. And then, obviously, you win and you move on. It's like March Madness. You survive in advance.
Lance, it's interesting that you bring up confidence with Joe and those shots down the field. Obviously, we know Kevin Stefanski is, you know, he's still seeing ghosts of all the turnovers from the last couple of years from quarterbacks offensively here. Where is the fine line as a coach? How do you show the confidence in Joe to make those plays while balancing with it or balancing it, I should say, with, by the way, please don't do anything stupid with the football.
Yeah, well, you know, they've had a lot of that, and we've seen that. And I think winning makes everybody confident. And I really believe that even at the NFL level, most of those guys besides Joe, those are young kids. So they won, so they weren't as sore the next day. They weren't film will be better, weights will be better. You know, everything will be better. The food tastes better this week. But for Joe Flacco being such a veteran, I think he's okay with, you know, watching the film. He's got to take advantage of the shots that are presented to him once in a while. And that means protecting the ball. Like I thought on the first drive, just because they were playing the Packers, they ran the ball on 3rd and 7. I really like that call. And why? Because it tells me that they're thinking of the defense is what is going to win this game this week. And that was their mindset. Now, once again, I don't think Joe is going to ever lack confidence whether he throws an interception or not. But we've learned if you turn the ball over, you're not going to win, regardless of how good this defense is. So I think they have to scheme up, I think, 12 personnel. I think it comes down to more scheme, trying to lighten that, try to bring everybody up to stop the run. That's why they got to get the run game going and then taking a shot or two once they get that run game going, which I think they did a little bit better. There was some better movement inside on the film. So it's going to be a work in progress, and it's going to be week to week. And this is how they're going to win. I don't think they can sustain how they played offense last week, but this is how they're going to win if they win.
All right, Coach Reisland here, Lance Reisland with us on the fan hotline. I do want to get to the defensive side of the ball. The defensive line has been so dominant. I will ask you, is the defense's dominance so far, is that solely about the line, or do you see dominance elsewhere?
No, but it's in this short scheme, it starts there, right? And it's so he starts it, though, that defensive line starts it, and then like guys like Schlesinger, because that line is so good, even if you look like a guy, Devin Bush, watching him on film, he's been really good. Schlesinger's been really good. Diabate's been really good. Because those guys cause such havoc up front, it's hard for those offensive linemen to get to those, especially in the run team, to get to those linebackers, because they can't get off those double teams because those guys are so active and they're jumping in gaps. So it starts, they're going to make everybody else better. But in a guy like Carson Schlesinger, has been incredible. He's been really, really good. Delpit's been good. I think they're maximizing Delpit's skill set down in the box. I still think they need to get a free safety that can get some turnovers. Obviously, Ward. I've been very hard on Greg Newsome. I think he's been outstanding in coverage. It seems like he's outside. He's a little bit better. But again, I think the biggest improvement this defense has made is those two defensive tackles fit Schwartz's scheme, and those guys are animals inside. Those guys are relentless.
We saw the defense, as we talk about, creating a turnover, special teams. I know this will shock people. They actually made a play in a game. But I had been of the mindset, Lance, going into that game against Green Bay, they just needed something to get them going from a big play aspect. And they in the span of 3 minutes and 40 seconds, they got about 12 big plays. Can they parlay that going forward? Is that a thing in football?
You know what it is? I don't believe Sunday to Sunday or even Friday to Friday in high school or Saturday to Saturday. I don't think it carries over to next week. But what I think it does is that it makes everything easier, because now you can stand up in front of your team and say, hey, listen, we didn't play very well on offense, but we did this as a team, and we beat a very good football team. So he's got some evidence now when he's standing in front of that team. And then you get up, you're not as sore. Joe Petonio's back's not as sore because you won. The food tastes better. Practice is easier. They're in film. Everything is just easier and not like a hassle when you win. So I don't think it really carries over to next Sunday, but what it does is it makes the prep for next Sunday a lot easier and a lot more energetic, and attention to detail and the fine like that, like the ability to run that play, run that slant play to Njoku, get up there, clock it. We watch that stuff every day. That's important. That shows those guys, hey, listen, this stuff we do is important, and this is why we do it. So I think it helps getting prepped for week in and week out, not necessarily the game, however.
All right, Coach, look into the offensive line. We'll start big picture. What are you seeing out of this offensive line through the first 3 weeks?
Well, the inside guys have definitely gotten better. So the one thing that they've done is kind of a Tommy Reese thing is that, Kevin is a wide zone gap scheme kind of guy, but they're running more duo. And if you think about duo, it's just double teams inside, but they're going straight ahead instead of zone, which kind of goes to the left or to the right, and they're kind of work on an angle, that wide zone. They're running a little bit more duo, which is allowing those inside guys to be a little bit tougher, right? They're allowed to really get into those double teams. That's what Junkins' 38-yard run was. Now, Livingston is a guy who, as I'm watching him on film, he's really, really struggling in pass protection, but he does have a nasty side. So if he can, at least run block well, and then they help him in pass protection, he'll be okay. There has been definite improvement in fundamentals, their steps, and just overall, most importantly, they're moving people back a little bit, and they're facing some pretty good defenses. They ran the ball fairly well, not great, really good defense. But again, there has to be some passing because there's too many guys in the box right now. You can't block eight. You can block six, and then maybe Junkins can help you with the seventh. But they got to loosen that box up a little bit.
Complicating matters is the tackle situation. Of course, DeJuan Jones now lost for the season, even though there were some questions about his play. Jack Conklin up in the air with the elbow, day to day. He's been day to day now for 3 weeks. Not sure if he's going to go. My question to you is, Cornelius Lucas, KT Leviston, is that enough to keep the boat afloat in those spots, or do you feel like that Andrew Berry at some point is going to have to address that position?
Well, the thing that Kevin Stefanski does really well in offense, if you saw it in his offense where he puts they're in empty, but he's got the two wings, or they're the tight end or a back, and they kind of are right outside the tackles on both sides. Kevin's always been great in helping those tackles in pass protection. So I think they would be okay. The problem is that for me, Lucas, when I watched him last year with the Commanders, I thought it was an excellent pickup. He's lost a step, and maybe he's learning the scheme, and maybe he'll get it, but he's not moving as well as he did. I think with depth, they're going to have to for sure go out and get somebody who can at least pass protect. And then obviously those tackles in this run scheme don't have to be as physical as the inside guys. But yeah, they're going to have to address it just because now there's no depth. And obviously the two guys that are in, like Livingston, he's got a long way to go. He's a guy that's really going to have to practice well, or he's going to get exposed on Sundays.
All right, Coach Riz, just about 30 seconds here. How you feeling about the Lions game on Sunday?
Well, they gotta make the Lions one-dimensional, and the good thing about this quarterback is he will be where he's setting up. He's not going anywhere, and that's dangerous against this defensive line. So they got to create some turnovers. This is a really good football team on both sides of the football, but he is a guy who's not going to move, and if you can create a turnover because you know where it is, it's a lot easier to pass rush when you know where your target is. So I think the Browns would be ultra competitive. I look to, you know, I'm breaking down the film now, but this is a really good team, but I think the Browns defense will keep them in it.
Darn near 30 seconds on the dot. That is a dot. Coach, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll look forward to hearing you again this Sunday, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks so much. Lance Reisland there, Cleveland.com, on the fan hotline. We'll react to what he had to say and something you're going to love to hear from the Guardians in 5 seconds. Five seconds? 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Thank you to my beautiful daughters, Olivia, Sophia, and Isabella, for their happy birthday wishes for their old man. Yeah, keep getting closer. Unless my dead fathers are the 640 calls. I think I'm safe, but that one was close. I was smiling like a fool. That was very nice.
Chips off the old block, those young ladies.
Oh my gosh.
Are.
Yeah. And you hear how each one of them is some iteration of me.
Yes. That's what is so impressive.
I've always loved. I
those
know,
are definitely your girls.
Oh my God. It's so funny. We went to a band show this last week for my oldest daughter, who's in high school, and she was just, you can tell she was just entertaining her friends in band while they were waiting to go on. And I just was so taken with it that I was like I zoomed in my phone and I was watching her like dance on the sidelines. And she told me this story about how she was doing that. And it was some TikTok dance or something like that. And then her friends or the kids from the other bands were walking around and were just like, who is this kid? And I was like, another generation of Wilsons making people go, what the hell is that person doing and what are they on? That's my babies right there. So that was very nice. That was very nice. You got very, very close. I more smiled. There might have been a tear there. You can't see it. My eyes light up. You can't see it. Mac?
I'll take it.
So who is am I allowed to ask who is responsible for putting these all together? Mac?
Yeah.
Why that? I did not mean that the way it came off. So it was your idea?
He's been working on it for weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. Been about a month of planning or so.
We can't
plan anything. This is even more impressive.
Wow.
I know, we're both brothers in ADHD.
That's fair.
It's more impressive when somebody who every like 5 seconds is like, oh, there's a bird. Like that's makes it even more impressive.
I'm not gonna lie, there were multiple times where I'm like, oh shoot, I have to circle back.
This is why you got into the fantasy football league first. Actually, I think you and Daryl were neck and neck. How's that going, by the way, Mac?
You know what? We're gonna regroup. The battle for Maxaw.
How did that go?
Maxaw Ridge, unfortunately, we took an L in that battle.
So right after the draft,
lost the war though.
Yeah, right after the draft, Mac ran his mouth at me, and guess what? I got a 3-game lead on your backside, there, pal.
All right,
we can just say ass.
3-0, 0-3.
We'll see how the season ends.
Look at that. We got some real heat here. I'm loving this. Oh, this is as good as the birthday messages.
Oh, don't worry. There are only two games that I want to win in this fantasy football league going forward. I already got you, so if we split, we're good. Okay? There's only two more games I want to win, and that's beating his butt twice.
Wow.
Him twice?
Right.
Twice.
Yeah, he did. In fairness.
Get that ass.
JP and I were kind of... So it was the four of us chatting... Or no, it was a group message, and it was me and JP just sitting back as Mac and Daryl we're smack talking each other, and I was like, "Oh, this is getting personal quick."
It got, and I wasn't the one that went personal. It was him.
You did go personal eventually.
Oh no, I fired.
He
back.
Struck first blood. Yeah, in fairness,
and then I delivered the knockout blow.
He was feeling quite happy for himself because I think he was having some cervezas at the time.
Yeah, he's feeling his 0-3 starts. Thomas, what he's feeling,
and I think he was just feeling himself a little bit, hanging out with his boys.
Yeah, huh?
But you did return fire.
Oh no, I don't hide the fact that I returned fire. I delivered the knockout blow. And again, I'm 3-0. He's 0-3.
I think that's how you're going to deliver the knockout blow, is by beating him. I thought both of your smack talk was a little mid. With love. You know me. Like, if I get mad enough to smack talk, I go for it.
Well, I mean, you're the one that told me I was going to see a proctologist.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I did say that. Yeah. Actually, that was the nicest way I said it, too. I thought if I got more graphic, it would be problematic.
Actually, I think the quote was, "A proctologist awaits you this weekend," or something like that.
And then it turns out it was me who got to see Dr. Latex.
Get that ass.
I did win this week by half a point. Now, some good news. Good news. This is a rough one to say good news. Javi Baez is a late scratch for tonight, meaning Trey Sweeney is in for the lineup for Javi Baez, who, if somebody said this, I think Javi Baez has the highest batting average against Gavin Williams of anybody in the Tigers lineup, so that's good. And the news that will absolutely impact the next series, Marcus Semien and Corey Seager are out for the rest of the regular season, so that has real implications here, as the team play after the Tigers is the Texas Rangers. And let's just say this, 216-474-0092. I just want to hear the vibe check on where you are with the Guardians, because it really does feel like when we used to do pregame shows out at bars before the big playoff games, that's what this feels like, even though we're in the studio right now.
Yeah, I mean, downtown is full of people. The gates at the ballpark are overflowing with people in line, so, you know, be patient. But over 30,000 going to be at the ballpark tonight, which is great. Hopefully we'll have similar crowds on Wednesday and Thursday night as well. Really give the Guardians that home field advantage. There is no better atmosphere. And no disrespect to the folks at Rocket Arena and playoff basketball, yeah, and all that. But there is no better atmosphere than Progressive Field, packed to the gills with fans in games where playoff implications are at stake or it's playoff baseball. There's just no better atmosphere, and so I'm looking forward to seeing that tonight at the ballpark.
Well, it's funny, you know, the Brown Stadium is mostly enclosed. Obviously, an arena has a roof on it, and those places are incredibly loud. Incredibly loud. The loudest I have ever heard at a sporting event. And I've been to the old Georgia Dome. I've been to Indiana's spot, or the Colts spot. I've been to Cavs championship games. Like, we're talking loud, loud. The loudest I've ever heard was during the 2016 stretch run. I can't remember which game it was for the Cubs, but I can't remember the Red Sox game. It was game one of that series when Beto hit the home run. I was sitting in the reserve section of the media section, which is where the kids' place is.
Yeah.
And I was behind the glass wall, and it was still so loud that I had to cover my ears, because it was. And the cool thing about that stadium is the way it's set up is that sound just carries down East 9th, basically all the way to the lake.
Yeah.
And so I will just never forget that. I was so shocked. Again, I've been to You know, Indians playoff games. I've been to, the 2007 series where it felt like you were going to beat the Red Sox. They got beyond you and then swept a hapless Rockies team. Just that place, when it's like this, it's as good as it gets in sports. And why, when people say, not a good baseball town, I say, you clearly are talking out your ass.
Right. You clearly have not been here when that place is packed. It's going to be a fun atmosphere the next... hopefully six games, the final six games of the regular season, but certainly these three games against the Tigers as the Guardians have an opportunity to really complete one of, if not the most historic rally down the stretch of any team you've ever seen. They were 15.5 back entering play tonight. They can take over the divisional lead with a victory.
Well, and it's funny, like, this team has been so herky-jerky in that the highs have been so high and the lows have been so low.
And I would argue the lows at times have, like, as low as it gets.
Yes, I mean, the Ortiz stuff. And then followed up by a week before the trade deadline, the Class A stuff, where Class A was going. And whatever you were getting for Class A was part of the next resurge of talent.
Yeah, the Guardians were supposed to be sellers, yes, right?
And not only did you lose him, but you then lost him for nothing.
Yeah.
So you had to deal with, you don't have your elite closer anymore, and then you also had to deal with, and now you have to find a closer, and you have to kind of keep that locker room in check. And I thought I was so surprised to hear Curtis say it, because I was like, there had to have been another time. We've had great winning streaks in September, right? 2016 was part of that. We've had other great winning, where it's like, you know, 10 games in September
they
and it puts you over the hump.
22 in a row.
Yes. But I mean, this, to me, from where they were 17, 18 games ago to where they are now, I just feel pride of being a Guardians fan. And the Guardians are, and it's why I get so upset when people just focus on a few negatives that have been the case for 20 years. And it's like, guys, you're missing out that this doesn't happen consistently in other small market situations. This is such a rarity. Tampa's another one. This is Milwaukee off and on as well. Like, there's like three or four.
Kansas City won a World Series.
Yes, there are like, well, but even Kansas City. What have they done since the World Series?
Yeah, it's fallen apart.
I mean, they had a nice run last year, but until proven otherwise, that's one and done. And by the way, they spend more money than you. And they're still going to be on the outside looking in the playoffs. So, like, what this organization has done, led by Trinetti, and now from Tito to even Eric Wedge previously, who had some success with you, and now to Stephen Vogt, like, this does not happen in this market or in markets like this. It doesn't happen in Pittsburgh. Cincinnati is hit or miss constantly, no matter who the GM is, no matter who the manager is. And yet, here we talk about a team that had no business being where they are.
Yep.
And I have full confidence that they're going to get it done in some semblance in the next 6 weeks or next six games, whether that's in the division or whether that's just in the wild card spot. That's like, this is the thing that Indians fans in the 60s, 70s, and 80s thought would never happen.
Yep.
And we are, and listen, I miss the days where we would just go out and outslug people 10-0. Or 10-6 or 10-8. I do miss it. When you have a great offense, it is much more fun to go to these games because every 5 seconds you're cheering. That said, they've done the harder thing, which is developing in an era where everybody's spending millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to decipher and decode, how do we build pitchers? They do it. And this is the potentially third great rotation they've put out there in a decade's time. That kind of replenishment is impossible. So when Curtis said today, earlier when we were talking about this comeback, he's like, I can't think of another time. I was like, yeah, I can't either. I'm racking my brain for something that fits this in terms of the comeback. I don't give a rat's ass about the collapse.
They've produced five Cy Young Award winners.
Yes.
Think about that. Five in the last, I don't know what, 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
And pretty much everyone you've ended up moving on from, you've turned into something else.
Yeah.
CeCe. What did you turn him into? Michael Brantley. I almost said Carlos Carrasco. Cliff Lee. You turned into Carlos Carrasco, who is a guy who was really, I mean, wasn't quite Cliff Lee, but in that range at his best. And you had a lot of patience there. Corey Kluber turned into Class A. Clevenger turned into like three guys who had made an impact on this lineup, including Gabby Arias, who's still in the lineup now. Like, that's Arias. Bieber might be the next guy with the kid you just traded from for Toronto. Like, I'll say it again. This stuff doesn't happen. And so to have this moment, to see this buzz for, I don't know how to be more proud to be a Guardians fan with the way this organization just does it time after time, more often than not.
I think that, and I'm going to touch on this next segment as well. But we get sometimes as sports fans, we get caught up in the zero sum game of championship or bust, and a lot of folks get caught up in the two narratives. One,
and it is understandable.
I get it. The team doesn't spend enough money, and they haven't won a World Series since 1948. But I think that sometimes when you get caught up in that zero sum game, there's only one team that gets to hold up a trophy and have a parade every year. And I know it's disappointing. It hasn't been your team since 1948. But my point is, I feel like sometimes when you put those blinders on and that's your only focus, you lose the fun of and the experience of seasons like this and stretches like this, where this is the fun part of sports. This is what makes sports fun.
Yeah.
That these guys came out of nowhere. Nobody predicted this. Sunday with the Browns, nobody, not a soul, thought with 4 minutes to go, the Browns were winning that football game. Everybody was writing the 0-3 stories and when is the quarterback change coming, right? And then, boom, out of nowhere, by some miracle, the Browns came to life and they ended up winning the game. And the Guardians, same thing. From losing 10 in a row, having 6 weeks where they couldn't score to save their lives, and they were just losing game after game after game. Then, you know, not one but two pitchers gets investigated and suspended by Major League Baseball, and you think the season is officially over. And they're still not scoring a lot of runs, but the pitching staff comes together, and the offense is doing just enough to get them by night in and night out. They're finding ways to manufacture wins. And you got a really good young manager who's in his second season. Like, I can't echo your points enough, Nick. I really hope that Guardians fans and Cleveland sports fans in general respect whether they win the division, whether they make the playoffs, regardless of the outcome of this season, whenever that road ends, whether it's on Sunday or whether it's at the end of October, I hope fans really, really appreciate what this ball club has done.
So I think Guardians first fans do. I think it's fans who might be maybe Browns fans first or Cavs fans first, who it's like, oh yeah, I like the Guardians when they're good. I don't want to call them casual fans, but maybe not as diehard of Guardians fans. I think they're the ones that get trapped in that other part of this. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Be fans of all three teams, and whoever you like the most, you like the most. But you just have to understand what we're seeing this year, last year, 2 years ago, or 2 years prior to that, certainly the run in the teens. This is just not typical. And that is, you've got a special thing here, and it's something that for 30 years, my dad didn't grow up with this. I did. And I it's never been lost on me, maybe because he told me a lot about trading Chris Chambliss and Craig Nettles once upon a time. All right, guys, just vibe check for the Gardos. Where are you guys at? 216-474-0092. In case we missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.